Now, up to 50,000 people are expected in Chicago this week for the Democratic National Convention, where Kamala Harris is due to be formally nominated as the party's presidential candidate. Since Joe Biden's departure from the race, she's seen a wave of support. This has been reflected in opinion polls, in fundraising, and in the crowds attending her rallies. Her critics say, however, that she has yet to set out a detailed policy agenda or sit down for a tough media interview. Dul McManus is a Washington-based columnist with the LA Times, and he's on the line. Dul, it's 5 weeks since the Republican convention that took place in Milwaukee, and it can be hard to grasp, really, how much has changed since then.
Rachel, that's absolutely right. 5 weeks since the Republican convention, 6 weeks since the assassination attempt against Donald Trump, and 4 weeks since Joe Biden dropped out. I don't think we've seen a six-week period of this much drama and instability in a very long time. But to go straight to your point, Donald Trump had led in this race for quite consistently for nearly a year, and in only 5 weeks, Kamala Harris has upended his advantage in the polls. She is slightly ahead in the national polls. The way our elections work out, that makes it pretty much neck and neck, but it's an entirely new race now.
Interestingly, though, when you look at the issues that matter most to voters, like the economy and like immigration, Donald Trump still has stronger approval ratings.
That's exactly right. And his approval rating has been quite stable on those. Where the difference lies is not in where the candidates are on the issues, but on their personal qualities. And that's where Kamala Harris is winning. She's winning on, does she care about people like me? She's winning on, does she have the temperament to be president? And she is winning quite amusingly, I think, on the question of age, the problem that that Biden had, because Donald Trump, of course, is now the old man in the race, and she's the young candidate. So she's winning quite clearly on personal qualities, even if she's behind on the issues. The question that raises for the convention, of course, is will she move toward the center on the issues to try and make up some of her deficit there and capture voters in the center?
Just going back to Donald Trump for a moment, the Republican Party are, it seems, having difficulty keeping him on message.
He's always been a hard man to keep on message.
Well, that's true.
For this campaign, he has hired a couple of very capable strategists and managers. They have tried to hammer into him the lesson that, as you said, he's winning on the issues, he's winning on policies, and so if he were to stick to the economy, to crime, to immigration, to paint himself as the man who can solve the problem, and the Democrats as weak and incapable and leftist, that he stands his best chance of winning. But he seems to be personally incapable of sticking to that quite simple message, and we've all watched in amazement or elation or disbelief as he gets on stage and talks for an hour and a half and talks about everything under the sun.
Yesterday, Kamala Harris visited Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is, I think, due there today. Does this underline the fact that the contest could, in the end, be decided by just a handful of states?
Yes, and that is a peculiarity of the American system. It's a list of between 6 and 8 states, and they are both going to spend almost the entire campaign there. It is notable this week that during the convention, when the Democrats will be having the convention in Chicago, in a traditional campaign, the Republican candidate would actually keep quiet, and vice versa. It was almost a courtesy between the two campaigns that, all right, this week is your convention week and the other week is my convention week. Trump, of course, being Trump, has upended that tradition, and he is going to be campaigning very vigorously all week long during the convention, essentially to try and create a split screen on the television where they'll have to cut away and see whatever remarkable thing Mr. Trump is saying right now.
Going back to the Democrats, how divided are they on Israel and Gaza?
That's a very interesting question, and it's a tough question because what you've got in the Democratic Party is very rough numbers, about 20% who are very passionate on the pro-Palestinian cause and very critical of Joe Biden on Gaza. And these are Democrats. But you've also got 20% or perhaps more who are very passionately pro-Israel and think Biden is too tough on Prime Minister Netanyahu on Israel. So any Democratic candidate, whether it was Biden or Kamala Harris, has a very exquisitely difficult balancing act between the two. Interesting way. Substantively, her policy is essentially the same as Biden's, but tonally, she is tougher on Netanyahu and tougher on calling for a ceasefire immediately. And it'll be very difficult. It won't stop the protests. It won't stop the zealots on both sides, but it seems to be working so far.
Doyle McManus, thank you very much for talking to us, and we'll be going to the Middle East after this short break.